Welcome to a message from Oasis Church. For more information about Oasis Church and how you can get connected, please visit myoasischurch.com. Here's Pastor Mark Pearl. Enjoy the message.
Well, this morning, let's go in our Bibles, or go to our Bibles if you have them with you, to Numbers chapter 13. Praise the Lord. We're going to start there. Just want to share a word with you this morning about being fruitful and how God wants us to be, He wants us to be fruitful. And so we're going to talk about that. Let's go here to the Old Testament, if you have a Bible, to Numbers 13, and I'm going to read beginning. Well, let's just see here. Let's begin at verse 23. And it's talking about the children of Israel when they came into the land of promise to spy out the land. Moses sent them to spy out the land. And so it's talking about that, and it's talking about the spies, and it says, "And they came unto the brook of Eshcol, and cut down thence a branch and one cluster of grapes, and they bare it," now notice this, "between two upon a staff, and they brought pomegranates and of the figs." Now notice this. I don't know about you, but I bring my grapes home in a bag. These grapes were so big that they had to carry between on a pole between two people. Hallelujah. Now, there's a reason why we're reading this. You're going to find out here in just a minute. Now, verse 24 says, "The place was called the Brook of Eshcol because of the cluster of grapes which the children of Israel cut down from there. And they returned from searching of the land after 40 days. And they went and they came to Moses and to Aaron and to all the congregation of Israel unto the wilderness of Paran to Kadesh and brought back word unto them and unto all the congregation and showed them the fruit of the land. And they told him and said, we be come unto the land which you sent us, and surely it floweth with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it." We'll stop reading right there because they get into unbelief, but we're not going to get into unbelief. No. They get into unbelief and say, "Yeah, but there's giants in the land." Hey, how many know it doesn't matter what's in the land?
Right.
How many know God already knew about the giants? Right. He didn't discover them when they discovered them, and He didn't even mention them. So if He didn't mention them, he didn't factor them.
Right.
Amen. So I wanted to read this passage of Scripture out of the Old Testament because this is the children of Israel going into Canaan's land, into the promised land. And it's actually a type. It's a type of us going into our promised land in this new covenant. And I want you to see this. The fruit was tremendous. Hallelujah. And I am a big believer that God wants us to have tremendous fruit.
Yes.
I really do. Now, you know, sometimes people will say, "Well, yeah, but what about these people over here? And they love God. And Pastor, they're suffering and they're doing without. And what about these people over here?" Well, you know, I don't know about those people over there. I don't base my life off those people over there.
Right.
I base my life off what God told me.
Amen.
I realize all of us, you know, at times we go through testings and trials, and so, you know, I was thank God they don't last forever.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
You know, some people in their life, they last forever. Well, if they're lasting forever, I believe you need to change some of your believing. But we all face trials, but they don't last forever. They're only temporary.
That's right.
Amen. So I don't know about people over there. I don't know about people over here. I don't know about Aunt Mimo. I don't know about all your relatives. I don't know about them. I don't know about all my relatives. I don't know about all the people in our city. I don't know about them. I just know what God has said to me. Hallelujah. You need to know what God said to you. And so here's what God said in Genesis chapter 1. The first thing that's recorded that He said to man, the very first thing is be fruitful. Can you imagine that? I mean, that's the first thing. Whether He said anything before then, we don't know. It's not recorded, so we just have to go by, what we read. And the very first thing that Adam heard was be fruitful. Can you imagine get created? I mean, wouldn't you love to have been there and seen this? I mean, Adam, his first waking moment is like, where am I? You ever woke up in a hotel and you've got, where am I? Oh, yeah, I've had that happen where I wake up in a hotel and think, where am I? You know, well, you can imagine Adam wakes up and the first thing he hears God say is be fruitful. Be fruitful. God wants us fruitful. Hallelujah. And so I want to talk about this morning. We're going to look at a few things today, a few scriptures, and just talk about us being fruitful and how God wants us to have fruit. What kind of fruit are we talking about? Well, you know, we talked earlier about our redemption, you know, and our redemption and all that our redemption includes. Well, what does it include? Well, you know, listen, you need to go in here and you need to read all the promises. You mean you read the whole Bible? Well, it won't hurt you. Actually, it'll probably help you. Amen. We're in the middle in our church and reading the Bible through a year, you know. And I know some of you have gotten into, you know, Chronicles and Leviticus and all the genealogy and all. And you think, oh, Pastor, why'd you ever start this? But, you know, that was important to them. They had to know that. And I understand there's parts of the Old Testament, you know, it deals with the history of Israel and all that. But it's all the Word of God. And it all needs to be in there. But you need to start with the New Testament. Just read through Romans and Galatians and Philippians and Ephesians and Colossians and Thessalonians and Timothy and Titus and James and Philemon and Hebrews and Peter and John and Revelation. Just read through those books and find out what belongs to you. Hallelujah. Amen. Find out what's in the redemption center. Amen. Amen. And claim your redemption. Amen. So, you know, Brother Hagin has a little book, you know, it's called In Him. It's just a little mini book, probably a couple bucks. And it just goes through all the scriptures that talk about who we are in Him, who we are in Christ. And so it'd do us good to find that out and know, because that's who we are. That's our inheritance. Amen. So God wants us to have fruit. Of course, He wants us to, you know, the most important fruit that you could have is spiritual fruit, right?
Right.
You know, leading people to the Lord Jesus Christ, living righteous, you know, serving God. But God also has natural fruit that He wants us to have. What is that natural fruit? He wants us to be blessed. Amen. And, you know, I know there's a lot of people that watch this, you know, the streaming and so forth. And some people, maybe you never heard that before. Maybe you never heard that God cares about the natural side of life. Well, did you know He created the natural side of life? Amen. He cares about the natural side. Now, He doesn't want your focus to be on that. He wants your focus to be on Him. Remember what He said? Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. So He doesn't want you focusing on that. That's where we get in trouble in the church, is when we get our focus on just natural stuff and think, you know, we must be really spiritual because we're blessed with natural stuff. Well, no, there's people that don't know God that are blessed with natural stuff. But God wants us to have blessings in all areas of life.
Yes.
Hallelujah. And the greatest blessing, you know, the book of Romans says the kingdom of God's righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
The greatest blessing you're going to have is righteousness, peace, and joy. If you got that, brother, I'll tell you what, you go a long way down the road.
Yeah.
Amen?
Amen?
So let's go to the New Testament. Let's go to John chapter 15. John chapter 15, and Jesus had something to say about this. And, you know, He talked about much fruit. Not just a little fruit. Much fruit. Much fruit. Now, you know, the reason why we want much fruit, because the more fruit we have, the bigger blessing we can be.
Right.
Amen. Amen. You know, it's like years ago I heard a guy say, you know, he said, you know, I found out something about speaking in tongues. This guy didn't believe in speaking in tongues, and he was talking to this other pastor that believed in speaking in tongues. And he said, I found out something about speaking in tongues. You know, these two pastors were friends. One was from a church that didn't believe in speaking in tongues today. The other one practiced speaking in tongues today. And so one didn't, one did. And so the pastor that did got a visit from the pastor that didn't. They were friends, lived in the same city, pastor churches in the same city. And he said, he said he came to me. He said, I was underneath my car, working on my car, and he kicked my foot. And he said, you know what? I said, what? He said, I found out something about those tongues. He said, what'd you find out? He said, they're selfish. This pastor that said this, he said, well, how's that? He said, well, I read in the Bible, when you speak in tongues, you edify yourself. So it's just selfishness. Real deep theology. This pastor said, I got out from underneath the car and I stood up and I looked at him. I said, let me ask you this. How could you edify somebody else if you're not edified? In other words, the purpose of you being edified is so you can be an edifier. I don't know if that's a word. Anyway, we'll use it today, all right? So you could be an edifier. You could edify people, see? So the purpose of us being blessed is so we can be a blessing. Not that we just, you know, heap it on ourselves and keep it to ourselves. That's a good way for it to dry up in the kingdom, see. But God wants us to share it. Amen. Remember what Jesus said, freely you've received, freely give. So what we've been blessed with, you know, you say, well, I don't have much. Yeah, but you have a little bit. You know what? What did Elijah say to the prophet or to the widow woman? What do you have in the house? Or Elisha? There was Elisha in 2 Kings 4 said to the widow woman, what do you have in the house? What do you have? She said, I have nothing. But well, she had something, and he used that little something she had, and it became abundance. God can just use a little bit of something, you know. Brother Hagin tells a story years ago about a man that you know, he was in, he invested, you know, in stocks and stuff, and he was the Lord was leading him to invest into this company that was kind of going nowhere, and he said the Lord was leading him to invest $5,000 into this company, and so he talked to his stockbroker about it, and the guy advised him, said, don't do that, this company's going nowhere, it's just junk stock, don't buy that. He said, well, I obeyed God anyway because I felt like God said do it. And he said, so I put the $5,000 in. He said, for years it didn't go anywhere. It looked like my financial advisor was right. He said, after 30 years, a major company bought it out and the stock in the company went way up. He said, my $5,000 turned into, I believe it was $40
million.
Come on, get off the floor, will you? $40 million. Amen. Now, you say, well, it took 30 years. Yeah, but have you made $40 million in the last 30 years? I haven't. But this guy, he actually heard from God. It took a while, but he heard from God. But, you know, he used what he had. You know, 5,000 compared to 40 million, that's not much, you know. Amen. Amen. But I'll tell you what, God doesn't need much to multiply. Amen.
Right.
Now, in John chapter 15, go there. Jesus said, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that bears not fruit, he takes away. Every branch that bears fruit, he purges it that it may bring forth more fruit. Now you are clean through the word which I've spoken unto you. In other words, the word of God will purge your life. It'll clean up your life so you can bear more fruit. Sometimes on a plant, you got to cut some stuff off. And for it to, you know, for it to flourish and prosper. You know, I have some trees at home, and sometimes those little sucker branches get down at the bottom, and I go out and cut those things off because those things, you know, they zap energy from the tree and keep it from growing in other places like it should. In verse 4, he said, abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can you except you abide in me. How many know we're supposed to abide in Jesus?
Yes.
Now listen, now... We're not just supposed to abide in Jesus on Sunday. We're supposed to abide in Jesus 24/7. That means when I'm out at the store, I got to abide in Jesus. I told you, I was honest with you, if you were here for the start of the service, you know, I've been having to watch my attitude a little bit over all this, you know, stay at home, lockdown stuff. You know, I was pretty cool with it to begin with because I thought it was necessary. You know, let's do what we can to help. But as it has drug on, I'm losing my patience. My wife is helping me. Phyllis helps me. Hallelujah. And every now and then, I'm not abiding in Jesus in that area. Come on, are you with me? And I'll do a little complaining, and then I have to remind myself, wait a minute, that's what the children of Israel did in the wilderness. That God had blessed him with so much. I think, well, you know what? Even during this, you know, this stay-at-home order, you know, I'm still blessed. I'm still eating well. Got plenty of food. Amen.
Amen.
You know, I'm well taken care of. I'm healthy. I'm not sick. That's something to be thankful for. Amen. And so instead of complaining, I should be praising God for what I have. Now, I'm not perfect like you are yet. I'm working on it. You all pray for me. But there's been times where I've come into the kitchen and said, and I vented. And so I've had enough of this. It's time to end this. It's time to move on. Well, you know, let me just say this to you. There's been a lot of complaining and a lot of murmuring against our leaders and so forth. I've got my opinions. You got your opinions. But you know what the Bible tells us to do? It tells us to pray for them. Somebody's got to make a decision. And if it were you, you'd have to make a decision. And I guarantee you somebody wouldn't like your decision. So we just have to pray. Do I think things could be done a little different? That's another sermon. Amen. Now, but how many know we got to abide in Jesus 24/7? You know, not just when we're at church, you know, people get real spiritual. You know, I've heard Joyce Meyer say before that her and Dave would fight all the way to church. And then they'd get to church and go, oh, hallelujah, glory to God, thank you, Jesus. Well, how many know he's with you when you're fighting all the way to church? Amen. Are you repenting right now? What? Come on. How many know sometimes we have to be reminded that we're to serve Jesus 24/7, not just on Sunday. Because there are people in our city, around in our nation, all over the world, if they put their time in on Sunday morning, they think they've done their duty for the week. I've given God my hour. Think about how many hours there are in a week. What is it, 168 hours? You didn't even give them a tithe. Uh-oh. So we have to understand. If we're gonna go on in God, we're gonna bear fruit. We can't just be part-time abiders. We got to be full-time residents. Amen. Verse 5. John 15. I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abides in me and I in him, the same brings forth much fruit. Everybody say much fruit.
Much fruit.
So God wants us to have much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. If any man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered. And men gather them and cast them into the fire and they are burned. If you abide in me, my words abide in you. You shall ask what you will, it shall be done unto you. Now notice this. This is talking about prayer right here, having prayer fruit. It's not putting the responsibility on God. I want you to notice how many yous are in there. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. It sounds like to me, when it comes to answered prayer, it's not about God, it's about you, me. It's about us, whether we're abiding or not, and the Word's abiding in us. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit, so shall you be my disciples. Verse 16, skip that there. You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever you shall ask of me and ask of the Father in my name, he may give it unto you. This verse just lets us know God is interested in us bearing a lot of fruit. Go to Matthew chapter 7. Let me show you something here. Matthew 7. Matthew chapter 7. Let's go there. We were in John 15. Let's go over to Matthew 7. Let me just share a couple verses here. Matthew chapter 7 and verse number 17. The Bible says, even so, every good tree or healthy tree, everybody say healthy tree. Every healthy tree brings forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree or a diseased, sickly tree, say sickly tree, brings forth bad fruit. So it's about the tree. It's about the tree. You have to understand Jesus is, when he's talking about trees, he's talking about people's lives. Every healthy, spiritually healthy life brings forth good fruit. Every spiritually unhealthy life brings forth bad fruit. Amen? And he went on to say the next verse, he said, in the following verse, he said, a good tree, a healthy tree cannot bring forth bad fruit, neither can a diseased or sickly tree bring forth good fruit. So listen. Listen, it's your spiritual health determines whether you're bringing forth much fruit. Mm-hmm. And that's what I want to talk about in our little bit of time we got left this morning. It took me a while to get here, but here we are. I want to talk about this. How is your spiritual health today? How do we stay healthy spiritually? Well, there's certain things that we can do. There's a lot of things we could talk about. I'm going to talk about three things this morning, okay? So, you know, when you open up the Word of God, it's so deep, rich, and full, you could just spend all day talking about something. But I'm going to talk about three things. If you know, I think if you get these three things right, you'll be a long way in bearing fruit in your life. All right. So I want to look at one more scripture at least. Let's go to Isaiah, because I want to set it up by looking at this. Let's go to 2 Kings. 2 Kings chapter 19. Let's go to that scripture. 2 Kings. I say Isaiah because this scripture is also in Isaiah, but let's look at the one in 2 Kings chapter 19. 2 Kings 19. And I want to show you something here, because this is where we'll launch off of this, and we'll spend some time talking about how we are a healthy tree. 2 Kings 19, verse 30. It says, "And the remnant that is escaped of the house of Judah shall again take root downward," notice that, "and bear fruit upward." So before there can be fruit upward, there has to be root downward. What does this mean? That means we got to get our roots deep in God. You know, a tree, a healthy tree, has healthy roots. You know, a lot of times they say that the root system is bigger than what you see above. What's below ground is bigger than what you see above ground. You know, if you cut, like for instance, years ago, Phyllis and I were going to plant some trees. You know, we've done a lot of planting of trees, and so we were going to plant some trees. We must have, I don't know where we were living at the time, but pretty about everywhere we've lived, we planted trees, which is a lot of places. And so we were going to plant trees, and then we went out to this nursery, you know, and they had this really nice looking river birch tree. I mean, it was in a container, but they had the containers like buried into the ground. And so if you wanted the tree, they just lifted the container up. They set them down in the ground, I suppose, keep them from tipping over. But anyway, this was a good-sized tree. It's bigger than all the other trees there. And so, you know, I wanted that tree. So the guy, you know, he goes to get it for me, and he's wiggling it back and forth, and all of a sudden we hear a snap, a pop, and not a good snap. And he says, "Well, you know, I can't guarantee this tree, but if you'll take it, I'll give it to you for 40% off. I thought, you know, 40% off a dead tree is not a good bargain. You know, even at 40% off, if it's dead, it's not a good bargain. And so I thought, nah, I don't think so, you know, because what had happened, he didn't know, I didn't know, we couldn't see, but what happened was the tap root that taps into the ground got snapped, and that's a really important root. And we came back just to check it out. We thought, well, let's just go take a look, you know, maybe we should have taken that tree. And we went back and looked, and all the leaves were wilting. It was dying. When that root snapped, that was the end of that tree. See, our roots in God have to be in certain things, and if they're not in certain things, then we're not going to bear the fruit. Paul said we need to be rooted and grounded in love. We need to walk in the love of God, and we need to have our roots grounded in how much God loves us. So we need to be rooted and grounded in love. There's some other things, you know, that talks about. The psalmist said this in Psalm 1. He said that we're to meditate the word of God day and night. Amen. And he says when we do, we'll be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season. Its leaf will not wither, and whatever it does prospers. So think about what that's saying. See, he says, when you meditate the word day and night, he said, you're like a tree that's planted by the rivers. He didn't just say river, he said rivers. You know where rivers merge together and it creates what's sometimes called a delta land because they're carrying nutrients from downstream and it floods and those nutrients get spread over the ground and it's a rich, fertile, moist ground, and trees there can really grow because their roots are tapped into the source. Hallelujah. Are your roots in the Word? Not just in hearing the Word, but in doing the Word. Are you a doer of the Word? Do you live out the Word every day? If you do that, you're going to bring forth much fruit. And the Bible says your leaf will not wither, and whatever you do prospers. So we need to be grounded, rooted and grounded in the love of God. We need to be rooted and grounded in the Word of God. Not just hearing the Word of God, but doing the Word of God. How many know we need to be doers of the Word? That, what does that mean, doers of the word? That means we live it out every day. That means, you know, I let the word govern me. I let the word govern how I act and what I do. So, number two, we need to be rooted and grounded in the word of God. Number three, we need to be rooted and grounded in our faith in God. Jeremiah said, cursed is the man that trusteth in man, that makes flesh his armor, his strength. He'll be like a heath in the desert, and he won't see when good comes. But blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose hope the Lord is. He'll be like a tree that's planted by the waters. And he won't see when heat comes, but he'll continue to prosper. So we need to make sure our hope, our faith isn't in man. Amen. It isn't in the world system. It's in God. You know, I'm trying not to talk about the coronavirus a lot because everybody is, and I'm tired of hearing about it. Are you?
Yeah,
I am too. So, you know, it's just like everything you turn on, they're talking about the coronavirus. Even every preacher you turn on, I'm tired of it. Let me hear about God. Hallelujah. But here's the thing. Look, I hope they find a vaccine for this thing. But listen, my faith isn't in man. My faith's in God. My trust is in God. I'm going to bear fruit no matter what man does. When you trust in God, doesn't matter what man does, you're going to bear fruit. So your roots have to be in faith in God. Your roots have to be in the love of God. Your roots have to be in the Word of God. And your roots have to be in trusting in God and not in man. Amen. You know, oh man, if the bank just comes through. Hey, you know, banks fail people. We've had banks let us down. I look back and I'm glad they did. But I mean, you know, we were trying to build a building years ago. Before some of you were ever here, we were trying to build a building in Newburgh. And we had it all, you know, we had it all worked out. I mean, I had the property all lined up. I actually went to buy the property off the guy. And he used to ask me, what do you want it titled, you know, the deed in? And I told him and all that. He never did anything with it. He never did get back to me. But in the meantime, you know, we had banks. I'm thinking about one bank. They actually contacted us and said, we want to loan you money. Well, hallelujah. Okay, we'll take your money. And so, you know, we met and all this, and we're going to build our building and all. And you know, and then all of a sudden, they changed their minds and said, well, we decided that you got to have, you know, 100 families in your church, which we didn't have. 100 families in your church before we can loan you the money. I said, well, that's 300 people. We didn't have 300 people. They let us down. But you know what? God never let us down. We are in our own building. We're a little over 3 years from it being totally paid for. I mean, that's just in the natural. And we didn't have to use a bank. Hallelujah. Are you with me now? See, but if you trust in man, man will let you down. No, I'm not offended at the bank. Don't misunderstand. I'm not carrying a grudge against the bank. I'm just making a point. You can't trust man. You got to trust God. So put your trust and your hope in God. Amen. Get your roots in the love of God. Second, get your roots in the Word of God. Third, get your roots in trusting God. Now, I'm going to give you the last one before we close out. You may not like this one as well, but let's go and let's look at the scripture on this. Let's go to John chapter 12, and we'll close right here. John chapter 12. I hope you got something out of this today. I sure miss you being here with us. It's not the same. It's just not as easy to preach without your lovely faces here pulling on and saying amen and getting excited and so forth without all of you here. But, you know, we're trusting we're going to be back together soon. And we're going to talk about that, our projected date in just a little bit. But let's go to John chapter 12. And the third thing. Are you ready? Your roots have to be, this may not be the best way to say it, but it's the way I'm going to say it because I think it'll register with you. Your roots have to be in unselfishness. You have to have an unselfish lifestyle. Look what Jesus said in John chapter 12, verse 24. He said, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn or a grain of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it brings forth much fruit. I mean, we want much fruit.
Yes.
But he said the grain, you know, that's actually what happens is the outer shell of the grain dies. It's the ground rots it away. You know, the ground just is trying to grow it. It's trying to grow the life that's inside of it. And so it actually dies to bring forth life. You know, that's the way our lives are. That's the way our lives have to be. We have to. If we're really going to be fruitful, we have to die to self. In other words, we can't just live our lives and then be about us all the time. You can't just get up thinking, you know, where's my blessing coming from? Amen. I know this one isn't as exciting as the other ones, but this one's really powerful. That you cannot live your life just thinking about you and just about, you know, what's comfortable for me and what's best for me. It has to be what's best for others. Amen.
Amen.
You know, so, yeah, you know, most people don't live that way. You have to know God to really live that way. You know, if you don't know God, you just can't live that way. But those of us that are born again, we ought to be living that way. Our lives should not be just about us. In other words, you know, I'm not just thinking about getting my need met. Amen. I'm going to think about other people here. Amen. Because that's the way Jesus did it. Hallelujah. I mean, and that's what this scripture is about him laying his life down on our behalf. And the Bible tells us that if he laid his life down on our behalf, we ought to lay down our lives for the brothers. You know, the brothers and sisters in Christ. We ought to lay down our lives for them. So we can't, if we're going to have much fruit, look, we have to have our roots in the love of God. We have to have our roots in the Word of God. We have to have our roots, amen, in trusting God. But we have to have our roots in unselfishness where we're not just thinking about us. We're thinking about how we can be a blessing to someone else. Amen. Thinking what we can do to be a blessing to other people. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Thank God. Thank God. Thank God. I hope you got something out of this today.
Amen.
Amen. And that you realize God wants you to bear much fruit. It's His will that you bear much fruit. And it's His plan that you bear much fruit. And don't let anybody talk you out of it. Amen. Don't let anybody, I say this, don't let anybody tell you not to believe for something that the Bible promises you. Don't do it. Don't do it. God wants you blessed so you can be a blessing.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
I remember years ago, first church I was at, I remember having a board meeting. We didn't tithe. We didn't tithe. Now, there are churches that don't believe you have to, and I'm not debating about that. That's your call. But I just figure, what's it going to hurt? I mean, if we teach people to tithe, why shouldn't the church of the Lord, you know, the church tithe? And I know there's people that think different, but you can think what you want to. That's up to you. But I don't think that way. My mind doesn't work that way. It's thinking how little I can get away with. I don't want to think that way. That's a good way not to be blessed. But I remember this. I remember the board meeting. I still remember it to this day. I remember even what room we were in. I mean, it was just plain as could be. It stood out in my mind. I remember talking about it and said, you know what? We need to start tithing as a church. We need to start tithing now. And so we began. And we began tithing. And I remember a year later, we had another board meeting. And I remember this board meeting, one of our trustees, that's what we call them, trustees, he gave the financial account and he said, our income last year since we started tithing rose 48%. Hallelujah. Not too many people get a 48% raise in 1 year's time. So it taught me a lesson. I mean, it taught us all a lesson. I already believed in tithing. Don't misunderstand me. I was already a tither myself, but the church wasn't. But it taught me a lesson about this. If you make yourself available to be a blessing, I'm going to tell you what God's going to do. He's going to give you more to be a blessing with.
Right.
Hallelujah. That's His word. He said, give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over shall men give unto your bosom. Amen. So it taught us at the church a lesson. Here's what it taught us. If we'll just be a blesser, the more we bless, the more we're going to have. Amen. We never lacked after that. Hallelujah. That was it for lack in our church. That's it. We were done. God just looked at us and said, man, these people are going to bless. They're serious. I'm going to bless them. Amen. God's a blesser. You know that? He wants us blessed and he wants us fruitful.
That concludes today's message. For more information about Oasis Church, please visit myoasischurch.com. Thanks for listening.